And as always, chatting to Paul Roelofser. Paul Roelofser is a certified financial planner. And one of the issues we are going to be talking about this morning is, you know, that of the golden handcuffs. What are golden handcuffs? Well, golden handcuffs are these things that you spend money on that ends up costing you quite a lot of capital. And you enjoy them, whether it's a big, big, big fancy house, whether it's a brand new, shiny, brand new car with all the bells and whistles. But you need to have your job in order to afford them. So how does one go about life trying to remove the golden shackles, giving yourself more freedom? But that is one of it, Paul. Always a pleasure having you on the show, sir.
Thanks. Thanks, Gino. Good to chat to you again.
But I think before we even get to those golden handcuffs, I think important for us to talk about investing on one's own. And I know some people say, you know, once you start going to someone who tells you where you need to invest the money, you now have to start paying them a particular percentage. So where does one even start with this particular process and the research process in the first place?
Well, I think you've got to appreciate that there's a lot of homework and understanding before you push the final button on where you invest, you know. And I think we tend to rush out and do things on very flimsy information. You know, if I can go back to Bitcoin, I know I get bullied around Bitcoin a lot because, you know, I don't really align with it. But in the context of Bitcoin, I wonder how many people, you know, are participating in Bitcoin and they don't quite understand it. They don't quite, you know what they're doing, but they're just following the momentum of it because the word of mouth around it seems like I've got to have it. Now, doing your own investments is certainly a lot more in depth. You've got to understand the investment world. If you take the unit trust world, for example, there are about 1,000 unit trusts to choose from, just on the local front. And then if you want to go abroad, they call them mutual funds abroad. Oh, there are thousands and thousands. And then where do you go? Which areas do you choose? What currencies do you choose? What types of unit trusts are there? There's just a myriad of variables that you've got to come to understand. Now, I don't want to for one moment distract you from doing it on your own. But the point I'm making is that there's a huge universe out there. And you can streamline it very nicely. And I'll give some ideas around that as well as our chat progresses. But the point is that when you start out, it's going to take some effort on your own. As you said earlier on, if you don't have the inclination, don't really want to do it yourself, well, there are financial advisors and the like, which will help you navigate through that. But then that comes with a fee. And it's the fee that you really got to trade off. You know, do I pay the fee and get it done with and earn a lower return, or do I get into it myself, you know, avoid the fee and then give me a potential for a higher return? Sure. Because at the end of the day, the percentage of return that I compound over time gives me the value into the future.
But that's got to be over time, obviously, because as we discussed the last time, compound interest won't work over 5 or 6 years. It'll have to be a sort of 20-year game, maybe, if you want to see the real value, depending on how much you put in.
Well, that's such an important point, because part of the preparation for going on your own is to understand how time actually gives you the value. This get-rich-quick stuff, you know, come back to the cryptocurrencies and you know, those kind of schemes that are around that are promising, you know, overnight, you know, doubling of your money. Somehow you also have to understand through the economic backdrop that fundamentally that doesn't happen. You know, if you're going to go into something that promises to double your money in a very short space of time, you've got to be suspicious about that. There's something in it that you've got to dig deeper into to find out how they managed to do that. Because, you know, if you take our fundamentals right now, our fundamentals in our own economy are very weak, they're very low. And when someone knocks on your door and says, I can give you double-digit returns in a month, where does that come from?
Hey, but there were people who drive Ferraris who invested in these sort of things before. Business people who knew apparently what they were doing.
Well, we can dig into that in the next phase of our conversation today about those golden handcuffs. But certainly right now, to understand the fundamentals, and there's a route through to help people go on their own. It's not impossible, but it does start off with understanding things, and the universe is wide. So you've got to narrow it down to something that you're looking for in terms of your investment strategy.
Now, I mean, couldn't you use the, I mean, I forget the name of the platform now. There's an investment platform and you can invest directly on the stock exchange, but you can also do the Satrixes, et cetera, where you've got, you know, big brands combined that over time outperform the market. Surely less research there, lower risk, but also less research because these brands tend to stand the test of time.
Well, the platform I think you're alluding to is ETFSA. It's Exchange Traded Funds SA.
Yeah.
And they've actually got quite a good one-stop shop there because, you, like you said, all the exchange traded funds are available both local and abroad on that particular platform. Now, to your point about the lesser research, I think what they've got is a way of streamlining the research. For example, if you take the Satrix 40, which is the sort of most commonly known exchange-traded fund, and what it really does, it just gives you the average of the top 40 shares listed on the JSE. And that's what you're participating. So you don't have to do much research per company. You don't have to stock pick. Automatically, you're participating in the top, by market capitalization, the top 40 shares on the board. And you can go in with as little as 300 Rand a month and participate in that growth.
Mm.
And the knowledge or the security you have really is that you've got boards of directors of the top 40 companies looking after your money effectively. And the real good thing about that, they're called exchange-traded funds because essentially what they do is they give you an average, whereas a unit trust fund participates in specifics. You know, it has a specific mandate, a specific objective.
Mm.
For example, you might have an Allan Gray balance fund which wants to outperform a certain benchmark like cash plus 2% or whatever. They'll line it out, and then actively they're going to try and outperform that for you. Whereas if you go into an exchange-traded fund, all you're really doing is you're buying an average. So it takes away that sort of pressure point from your point of view in terms of trying to understand it that much more deeply because you know that you've got the top 40 companies in your portfolio. And as I say, too, the big thing is that those funds are a lot cheaper to be involved in than a unit trust fund because now it goes...
Are you there, Paul? Okay, we seem to have
charges
lost...
specifically. The active manager wants to charge you a fee because he's going to outperform, whereas if you pay this lower fee, you're just really going to get the average. And here's the thing, you know, over time, the average tends to outperform the active management. Very few active managers end up doing what the average is in terms of exchange-traded funds. So there is something in there which, if you're going on your own, you should start exploring and investigating as well.
I mean, you also have the ETFs. I mean, they provide investments into the fund that actually holds the assets that they track. So, I mean, an ETF, is that something to look at?
Well, that's the same sort of thing.
I mean,
the Satrix 40 is an ETF as well.
Yeah, it is an ETF.
It's about the average, and it comes back to that. But you can have averages in all sorts of things. You know, I know that you've got a nice bias towards property.
Mm.
We've spoken about that over time.
Yeah.
Now, instead of buying property directly, okay, as you know, many of us do in terms of a buy-to-let kind of project, you can go to an ETF called PropTrax. Now, PropTrax is on that same listed on that same linked product platform, and inside there you've got the top listed company shares or property shares on the JSE. Now, what you do is then you kind of, well, not kind of, you actually are participating in the average performance of all of them. And in there, you've got GrowthPoint and Redefine and all the top listed ones.
Mm.
And what you're really doing now is you're participating in an ETF, which now gives you the average of the property index in the country, which covers not only residential, but it also looks at commercial and industrial. So it's quite a nice spread that you could also participate in without having to own the brick and mortar.
What about exchange-traded notes? I mean, they're more like bonds, aren't they? They're unsecured as well.
Well, they do. You know, notes, they get into complexities again, and they also trade on that same ETFSA as well. They align much like exchange-traded funds, but they need a little bit more understanding, and they dig deeper.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. With all those funds, you just click a button on the right-hand side of whatever fund you want to investigate, and you come up with a thing called a fact sheet.
Mm.
And the fact sheet is a pretty good one-stop shop to really understand a fund. It puts down what the fund is, the underlying assets are, and it gives you performances of how it's done over the past. So, and be careful here too. This is one caveat that we must overlook. Past performance doesn't necessarily predict future.
Yep.
And what we tend to do when we go on our own, or for the lesser astute people that are investing, what we tend to do is look at what something did last year and the years before and assume that they're going to go up in a straight line in that direction. And that's far from the truth. You've got to understand that markets work in cycles, investments work in cycles, and yesterday's winners are not necessarily tomorrow's winners. In fact, often they're tomorrow's losers. So don't be lulled into past performance.
Yeah.
But the point is, when you look at these fact sheets, there's a ton of information that you can glean from that, which gives you a better understanding of what you're trying to invest in.
Absolutely. I mean, there's another, I think it's called Easy Equities, which is another one, platform that you can use. And apparently you can even invest on the New York Stock Exchange using Easy Equities. So Paul Roelofse, certified financial planner, just looking at your money, when we return, how do you get rid of golden handcuffs? And it's all in the way we go about purchasing. Is it a new car versus a second-hand car, for example? Paul taught me something once, and at some stage I need to listen to him.
You're with Cape Talk.
You're with Cape Talk.
11:20, that is your time as we wrap up with certified financial planner Paul Roelofse. And we had this discussion with a psychologist, I think it was a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact, where we were talking about people who can't make moves to make themselves happy because they have to have a certain job that brings in a certain salary that pays for a certain lifestyle. And I recalled that a friend of mine, Ron Allen, who works for NBC, for example, said that he wants to get out of media, but he can't because he's got the house at the beach, he's got the expensive car, and he needs to do his NBC job in order to afford that. I call those golden handcuffs. So, I don't know, Paul. I mean, I don't begrudge people buying fancy cars and all the rest of it, but I mean, there are a couple of rules, surely, if you want to make yourself financially free.
Well, I think there's a wide angle on this, and just to narrow down a couple of practical points. First of all, it's how you get there, I think, is the question.
Yeah.
If one looks at lifestyles, and I've been privileged to look at, the in-depth over years of people with balance sheets and financial situations, and quite often we find a very elevated lifestyle, but the balance sheet looks very weak. In the context of what I owe and what I earn. And that's a key principle in how you accumulate your lifestyle, how you elevate your lifestyle. If it's on the base of a solid financial balance sheet, personal financial balance sheet, where you own more than you owe, then I think you're not on rocky road. However, if you are borrowing to maintain a lifestyle, and that is elevated. Well, now we've got some trouble potentially because I guess then you are enslaved to your payroll. The payroll is necessary now. It's a need. It's a must-have. And that's, I think, to your point, is where you start feeling this sort of captivated person where I'm not my free person. I'm now, I have this lifestyle they've got to maintain, and I don't really like what I'm doing, but I have to do it now because I've got no option. Otherwise, it's shipped down. And how you get out of that is a tall question. And I think it's going to take some hard truths to really come to the realization of where you actually are in your personal financial planning. If your debt ratio is too high, you've already got a problem. It means that you're living above your means and not below it. And the key around any responsible or reasonable financial plan is to live well within your means and not be enticed through debt to live above your means, because debt will then effectively rob you of your financial freedom going forward.
Exactly.
You can't save.
So your assets equals your owner's equity plus your liabilities, and if your liabilities are too high, then you got yourself a bit of a problem.
Well, in accounting speak, the old classic ratio is 2-1 on your balance sheet.
Absolutely.
If it's 1-1, well, it means you don't owe anything. And if it's higher than 1-1, well, then, we have a problem.
Paul, thank you very much for that. Coming up, we're going to be chatting to Professor Kaushik Sushiran. He's the interim director at the UCT Graduate School of Business. I mean, they have received some phenomenal rankings, but how do they go about doing that is the big question. Well, you're listening to Today. I am Keno with you all the way through until midday.